our journey through the book of Galatians, we've been uncovering the truths that Paul shares with the early church, truths that continue to speak to us today. In the first sermon, we explored Paul's emphasis on no other gospel. We looked at how Paul began his letter to the Galatians by defending the gospel of grace against false teachings. He was clear that the gospel of Jesus Christ was the only way to be made right with God, and that gospel being salvation by grace through faith. Paul warned against adding anything to this message, whether you're adding traditions or human efforts, because those things distort the truth of the gospel. This set the stage for understanding that our relationship with God is grounded in grace, not in anything we can do on our own. In the next sermon, we looked at Paul's defense of his apostleship. Paul shared his own story about how he received the gospel directly from Christ, not from any human source. He recounted his conversion and how his life was transformed by the power of God's grace. And this was important because it underscored the authority and authenticity of the message he preached. The next sermon, The Purpose of the Law, in it we talked about how Paul explained that the law was never meant to be a means of salvation. Instead, it was given to reveal our need for a Savior. The law shows us our shortcomings and our inability to achieve righteousness on our own. These sermons have built a foundation for understanding the message of grace that Paul preached, a message that challenges us to rely fully on Christ, not our own efforts to be made right with God. Today, we're going to see how Paul continues this theme by addressing a critical moment in the early church, one that further highlights the central truth that we are justified by faith alone, not by works of the law. So listen as I read, or read along with me, in Galatians 2, verses 11 through 21. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified. But if, in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever been in a situation where you had to choose between two good things, each pulling you in a different direction? Maybe it was deciding between two job offers, both promising in their own ways. Perhaps it was figuring out how to balance the demands of family and work, each very important. But they both ask for the majority of our time and our energy. It's a tough place to be. This tension where you're torn between two seemingly right choices is a familiar struggle. And it's exactly the kind of scenario that we see in our scripture passage today. Here we find two key figures of the early church, Paul and Peter, caught in a moment of intense disagreement. And what's at stake is nothing less than the heart of the gospel, how we are made right with God. Peter, one of Jesus' closest followers, is sharing a meal with Gentiles, believers in Antioch. Now, this may not seem like a big deal to us to sit down with someone from a different faith, but back then it was groundbreaking. Jewish customs were clear. Jews did not eat with Gentiles. But Peter, embracing the freedom that comes through Christ, was doing just that. He was living out the truth that in Jesus, all the old barriers between people, whether they're about race, culture, or religious background, are torn down. It is a beautiful picture of the gospel in action. But then some men show up from Jerusalem, sent by James, and they're not happy about this breaking of tradition. They still hold on to the old ways where following Jewish law was essential. And suddenly, Peter, feeling the pressure, pulls back. He stops eating with the Gentiles, separating himself from them. What Peter did might seem like a small thing, but it wasn't. It was a public statement, a denial of the truth, a denial of the true gospel. Paul, who was there to see it, knew that this was more than just a personal failure on Peter's part. It was a big deal because it suggested that faith in Jesus wasn't enough. And somehow, following the old Jewish laws still mattered when it came to being a part of God's people. So Paul did something that wasn't easy. He confronted Peter in front of everyone, challenging him directly. Paul asked Peter how could he act like a Gentile when it suited him, but then expect Gentiles to live like Jews. Paul's words were sharp, but they were necessary because what Peter was doing was fundamentally out of step with the truth of the gospel. Paul didn't hold back. He laid out the principle that has been central to Christian faith ever since. We know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. This wasn't just a church argument for Paul. It wasn't just a theological argument. It was a declaration of freedom. It was saying that our right standing with God doesn't come from following a set of rules or observing religious rituals. It comes from only trusting in Jesus and what he has done for us. This was a radical message, especially in a world where people were used to thinking that their status with God depended on their ability to follow the law. Paul was not saying that the law was bad. Far from it. The law has its place. It shows people what sin is. But it can't save us. Only Jesus can do that. And this is why Paul said that if righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. In other words, if we could earn our way to God through our own efforts, then Jesus' sacrifice was pointless. And of course, we know that isn't the case. Jesus died because we couldn't do it on our own. We needed a Savior, and that's exactly who Jesus is. And Paul went on to say what it means to live as someone who has been justified by faith. He says, I have been crucified with Christ so that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. What does this mean? It means that when we put our faith in Jesus, something incredibly incredible happens. Our old self, the one bound by sin and trying to earn God's favor, dies with Jesus on the cross. And in its place, a new self comes to life. A self where Jesus lives in us, guiding us, empowering us, and loving through us. This is the life of faith. It's not about trying harder to be good. It's about letting Christ live His life in and through us. It's about living each day in the confidence that we are loved and accepted by God, not because of what we do, but because of what Jesus has done. But here's the thing. Even though this is a message of freedom, it's so easy to slip back into old habits. It's easy to start thinking that maybe, just maybe, we need to add something to our faith. Surely salvation is not that easy. Maybe we do need to follow these certain rules, or maybe we should judge others by how well they follow them. This is legalism. It's thinking that our standing with God is based on our ability to follow the rules. But Paul reminds us that this is not the way of Christ. When we start living like this, we're denying the power of the gospel, just like Peter did when he pulled back from eating with the Gentiles. We are saying that we save ourselves, which is essentially saying we don't need Jesus. We see this kind of legalism creep into our own lives and our churches in subtle ways. Maybe it's in how we judge others' spirituality by how they dress or whether they follow certain traditions. Maybe it's in the way we measure our own worth by our ability to keep up with religious duties. But whatever we do, whenever we do this, we're falling into the same trap that Peter did. We are forgetting that our righteousness comes from Christ alone. Paul's words challenge us to live in the freedom of faith, to truly believe, yes, salvation is that simple, to truly believe that Jesus is enough. And when we live like this, we find a freedom that legalism can never offer. We find the freedom to love others as Christ loves us without the barriers of judgment or exclusion. We find the freedom to live boldly into the grace of God, knowing that our salvation is secured not because of what we do, but because of what Christ has done. I remember hearing a story about a man. He'd spent his whole life trying to please God by fulfilling all the rules, by following all the rules. He was a good man. He was a moral man. But he was exhausted. No matter how hard he tried, he never felt like he was doing enough. But then one day he heard the message of grace, the message that God loved him just as he was, that he didn't need to earn God's favor because Jesus had already done that for him. And this truth set him free. For the first time, he stopped striving and started resting in God's love. And in that rest, he found the strength to live a life of real love and service. Not because he had to, but because he wanted to. This is the kind of freedom Paul is talking about. It's the freedom that comes from knowing we are justified by faith, not by works. It's the freedom that lets us live fully and love freely, without fear of judgment or failure. It's the freedom that invites us to let go of our own efforts to earn God's love and instead embrace the love that is already ours in Christ. As we go from here today, let's take a minute to reflect on our own lives. Are there places where we've allowed legalism to creep in? Are there areas where we're still trying to earn what's already been freely given? And if so, let's bring those to Jesus. Let's ask Him to remind us of the truth that we are justified by faith alone. Let's ask Him to help us live into the freedom of that truth. And then let's leave this place and take the Jesus that is in us out and give Him to the world. Bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of grace that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. We confess that too often we fall into the trap of trying to earn Your love. We fall into the trap of judging ourselves and others by standards You don't set. Forgive us for our legalism and help us to live in the freedom that Christ has won for us. May we be people who rest in Your love, who live out our faith with joy. And may we be people that extend that same grace to others. Let our lives be a reflection of the truth that we are justified by faith alone. We ask this in Your Son's holy name. Amen.